Good morning. Joining us on the line from the UK is Dicky Arbiter. He's a broadcaster, journalist and former press secretary to Her Majesty the Queen and media manager for Prince Charles and the late Princess Diana. I believe that he thought that Princess Andrew's recent BBC interview was a bad idea and felt afterwards that he should take a sabbatical from royal duties. Then yesterday, a few days after the interview, that is basically what happened. Dicky Arbiter, thanks for joining us on Talk Radio Europe.
You're welcome, Hannah.
Hi. So do you think it was inevitable and seemingly the right decision then for Prince Andrew to step down from royal duties after the interview?
Well, there was no other course of action. And yes, it was the right decision, a decision made for him by the Queen in consultation with the Prince of Wales. And now he's got time on his hands. He can do what he should have done a long time ago, and that's answer questions put to him by the FBI, the investigators into this whole sorry saga of the Epstein affair, as well as the lawyers for the litigators.
Yes, it was put to him during the interview, wasn't it? You know, if you were asked to speak to the police and then the FBI, would you do this? And he was very much saying, well, I need to check with my legal advice and if I'm given that advice and, you know, shying away from it as opposed to saying, yes, absolutely, of course, I'll do exactly what is needed.
Well, that's what he should have said. And when the statement was issued the other night in which he sort of relinquishing royal duties, he then sort of fluffed around the edges a bit and said he would answer questions if required. Well, it is required, and it was a nonsense thing to say. He should actually volunteer without having to be pushed, without having to be asked. Say, right, you know, I've got time on my hands. I'm ready to answer your questions.
Yeah. What did you feel that his sort of general demeanour was throughout the interview the other night?
I think the demeanour, and most people would agree, the demeanour was one of arrogance, one of self-belief that he would get through this. He obviously did the interview believing that he could profess his innocence, that he knew nothing about what was going on, and it didn't work. I thought Emily Maitlis, the interviewer, did a very good job, particularly in when he referred to Jeffrey Epstein's actions as untoward. And she came back at him, untoward. He was a sex predator, a sex offender. And Andrew then apologised and said he was being polite. Well, you know, on this sort of situation, there is no room for politeness. You've got to say it as it is. And as it was, Epstein was a sex offender.
Yes, that was one of the biggest things that struck me, to be honest, right at the end. Unbecoming, he said, didn't he?
And unbecoming, yes.
Yes, and why was he being polite? What's the need to be polite? You know, he could easily have used words like shocking, disgusting, wrong, not unbecoming. It was very odd, wasn't it?
Yeah, unfortunately, he's not clever enough thinking on his feet. This was a recorded interview. There were no set questions. He didn't know in advance what he was going to be asked. He knew that what the theme and the subject of what he was going to be asked, but he didn't have a list of questions, which is normally the way interviews are done with members of the royal family. So he went into it cold, thinking that he could actually handle it, only to prove 55 minutes later that he couldn't.
But before, obviously, he got all the public reaction and backlash from the interview, I read that he had, I mean, whether it's true or not, but I read that he'd spoken to the Queen and said that he felt it went well.
He might have done, but any sensible thinking person can see from the backlash in the media, and it's not just the British media, the global media as well, that it certainly didn't go well. So what he was thinking of when he said it went, he thought it went well, I really don't know. He probably believes in his own infallibility, and he probably believed that he did do a terrific job.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, the truth will out, and we've seen acres of coverage, not just in the UK, but globally, in which the big question asked, why on earth did he do it?
And a couple of things that he brought up, which we've obviously seen plenty of photographic evidence, I think, even before he said it, but certainly afterwards, when he talked about the fact that he has a medical condition and doesn't sweat, the fact that he doesn't party, he's never been a party person. We've seen so much evidence of both of these things, on the contrary.
Yes, I mean, it was so ill thought through. And the problem is that because he didn't have sight of any questions and agreed to go in it absolutely cold, he came out with the first thing you thought of. Now, he's probably not, and he isn't, certainly over the past few years, a party animal, and he doesn't show emotions in public. Those photographs were taken quite a while ago, but they do show that, yes, he does sweat in public, he does sweat, perspire, and he does enjoy parties, and he does enjoy company, and he does show feelings and emotions. Mm. He just thought, he was thinking on his feet, forgetting about what happened months ago or even years ago, and just the immediate past, and he thought he was going to get away with it, but he didn't.
Yes. The other thing, when he was commenting on, when she asked him about the photograph with his arm round 17-year-old Virginia Roberts, which of course we've seen circulated throughout the world's media for a while now, and he was kind of saying, well, yes, it is me, I can see that it's me, but I have no recollection of that happening. I don't know whether that's my arm or my hand, but obviously it's me. And it was just very strange, wasn't it?
It was very strange, and when pressed about going to Tramp on a particular night, he said he couldn't have been there because he remembered in minute detail that he was at Pizza Express in Woking, which is in Surrey, in sort of outer suburb of London. How he could remember that in such detail, he claimed to remember it because it was an unusual thing for him to do. Well, parties at Pizza Express for children are usually sort of late afternoon, which would have given him plenty of time to get to Tramp at 10 or 11 o'clock at night. And then to say he didn't know where the bar is because he doesn't buy drinks, he'd been there often enough, he would know where the bar is.
Yes.
It was just, you know, one answer disaster after another.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And one of the biggest things for me, and his use of phrasing was fascinating, when he talked about the fact that his, I mean, I can't remember if he actually used the word regret, but one of the things that he sort of wished he maybe didn't do was visit Jeffrey Epstein's place in New York in 2010 to break off the friendship. He stayed with him for four nights, I think it was. And he was describing that as he felt an honourable thing to do, to break off the friendship. And I thought, why do you feel the need to be honourable to somebody who's just come out of prison for soliciting a minor?
Well, that's naivety, and you know, the Duke of York, in some of the things he does, is very naive. To say it was the honourable thing to do, if you know somebody who's been thrown into the slammer for sex offences, you don't keep within a million miles of that person. And if you want to break up the friendship, then the most you would do is telephone, not go over to New York, stay for 4 days, and not realise that because of your association with the person, that there are going to be photographers looking for you, then go for a walk in Central Park with Epstein and get photographed. It just beggars belief how the man thinks.
Yes, absolutely. He said that, he wanted to explain face-to-face why they shouldn't be seen together, but surely he just wouldn't want to be in his company.
There actually wouldn't need an explanation. His very actions speak for themselves. It's naivety. With everything that's gone out, even before then, that 2010 visit, you would think that the Duke of York would distance himself, given who he is, who his family is, who his mother is. But no, he thought he could bumble his way through it.
Yes.
But he hasn't.
It's a difficult time, I'm sure, for the royal family. How do you think, not talking about Prince Andrew for a second, but how do you think the rest of them will sort of cope after this and kind of distance themselves from the prince, possibly?
Well, the rest of them will cope admirably. We've got Prince of Wales and the Duchess of Cornwall in New Zealand carrying out their what is expected of them. They were invited there by the New Zealand government, New Zealand Prime Minister, and it looks as though, by all accounts, that the tour has gone swimmingly. The royal family get on with doing the job that they're supposed to be doing. Yes, there's disappointment that one of their members has let the side down. He let the side down, as he said in that interview. But he's not just letting the side down. He let himself down and his daughters. Mm. And, you know, they didn't come out in it at all. And one's got to feel sorry for the daughters, having your father plastered all over the world's press. But they will carry on. They're stoic. They're pragmatic. What the relationship will be like, it'll probably be a bit frosty, but at the end of the day, blood is thicker than water. the family will stick together.
Mm. And what future do you see for Prince Andrew? Can you see the British public welcoming back to royal duties anytime soon?
In the short term, there isn't a future. In the long term, well, how long is a piece of string?
Mm. Watch this space, I guess.
Watch this space indeed.
Yes. Dickie Arbiter, thank you very much for joining us this morning on Talk Radio Europe.
Thank you.